the scriptures. And so now what I would love to do, as you sit kind of confused, what did we just do? So I'd love to pray, and then we're going to actually trace back through what we just did and unpack it a bit. Gracious God, we bless you for this time. We bless you for the opportunity to sit with you, to stand with you, to sing with you, to sing to you. We give you this time. We ask that you would now unfold more and more what you have been up to and what you are up to in our lives and through your word. So may the posture and meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth bring honor and glory to you and you alone, my rock, my Lord, my Savior. And in the name of Christ Jesus, the church said, amen. So we began with the Shema, as it's called. The Shema, and the word Shema is Hebrew for the word hear. So we began with Hear, O Israel, and it's a kind of a mantra. It's a prayer, if you will. It's intended to center us, to ground us in the way of loving God and loving neighbor. Now, the Hebrew people, Jewish people, back then and even through today, begin their morning with the Shema. Then maybe in the afternoon they say it again, but they end then their day saying it again. So they begin with God, this day is beginning, and so this is my desire. Help me in living out loving you by loving my neighbor. They end their day going, God, this is my hope that I did this well. Love you and love my neighbor. And then we moved to the central theme of the Hebrew scriptures, the story, which is then our story, which is Exodus, being rescued from that which enslaves. So the Exodus is true, not just then, but today. There are things, many things that might enslave us, hold us down, keep us back, and we cry out to God, rescue me from that which enslaves. That's where we went. Then, that's the book of Exodus, which is central. Then you go back to Genesis, and that's what we did. We went back to Genesis then, which is a poem and a story, and it answers the question, well, how did we find ourselves needing rescue from that which enslaves? Well, there's an origins story or poem called Genesis that gets us to that point. And then there are songs, what we know as psalms, songs, which range from songs of thanksgiving to lament, to praise. And there's a songbook in the middle of the Hebrew scriptures called Psalms. So we not just read them, but we also sang them, as you should. And the one song, How Long? That's Psalm 40. And so that's what we were singing. We were literally just singing Psalm 40, as we should. Then we read from Leviticus, which is your favorite book and you haven't memorized, but we did that. And now here's the fascinating thing. We just did one verse in Leviticus, and the word Leviticus in the Hebrew, at least where we get the word Leviticus, is Vayikra. Go ahead and say Vayikra. Not Viagra, Vayikra. Okay, Vayikra. And that is actually saying continue. It means to continue with God. God is saying to Moses, continue with me. And then he gives him instructions from the tent of meeting. So he says, continue with me. So as you begin Leviticus, it's a question. Well, where are we continuing from? Oh, Exodus and Genesis. So when you begin Leviticus, if you take it and you remove it from the scriptures, you're going to run headlong into some trouble because you removed it from its context, which is continuing with God from creation to rescue the whole gamut. So it matters that we do that. And it's basically then what God says to Moses is, I want to give you instructions in how to guide you into being a new kind of people in the world. You were freed from that which enslaves, but you're free for becoming the people of God. So let me give you instructions. Leviticus is instructions to the Levitical priests on how to guide the people in becoming a new kind of people. Are you with me? That's what it is. So these are instructions on how to become a new kind of people in the world. And then we moved from there to the story being completely put back together in and through Jesus, which is what we see in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. And we read from Colossians. So a letter to the church explaining in Jesus, all things are put back together. The instructions, if you will, the Torah, the instructions that were given have now been fulfilled or filled in fully in and through Jesus and the way he lived and gave and poured out, including his life and through death. And in Colossians, we read about being enemies of God in our minds because of the way it would be interpreted, an intense desire for evil. Your intense desire for evil takes you off course, and in your mind, you actually work as enemies of God. But in Jesus, we have been reconciled. So throughout the library, that is the Bible, the library, we see pictures and glimpses of this happening, of where things went off course, and then we see pictures and glimpses of how they are put back together. For example, we did this, and we'll put it up on screen. Your desire, in Genesis, it says this. Your desire, the word is teshuka. Go ahead and say teshuka. Teshuka! Yeah, it's a little more oomph. Will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Here's why that's important. Do you know that this is the consequences God is doling out for your bad behavior? How many times have you heard someone say, well, I know, but the man's going to rule over the woman because that's the way it's ordered. Yeah, as a consequence of going off course. Whoops. So teshuka will be for your husband. It should read in a shalom if things were a whole. Your desire will be for your husband and his desire will be for you. That's what it should say. But it doesn't. And then he will roll over you and rule over you. And then you go to Cain. So there's a progression now. Hey, Cain's a little grumpy with his brother. He's upset about things. God has a discussion with one of the first brothers and says, Cain, here's the thing. Do what is right. If not, sin is crouching at your door. And it's almost a quote. It desires, teshuka, to have you, but you must rule over it. Now, here's the thing. The word teshuka, it appears three times in the Hebrew scriptures. Here are the first two that are kind of this off-courseness. It appears one more time, a third time, and it's in the book of Song of Songs, and it says, I belong, she is speaking, I belong to my beloved, and his desire is what? For me. What is this? It's a picture of how things will be put back together. Relationships made whole, in a relationship that is whole, shalom, complete, is now that my desire is for him and his desire is for me. And it's a picture, it's an image of what relationships will look like when they're whole, and there is no, well, I will do if you do. There is no, I get if you give, and it's shalom. It's we mutually are in this thing, and it's just complete and whole and together. Are you with me? And you see these things, this is just one example of things being put back together or what they will look like when they are put back together. So we have this incredible movement. So then it is here in this that Jesus invites us to follow him as he puts it all back together. Okay? Jesus is putting it all back together and he invites us to follow him. And so Matthew 4, 19 to 20, it says this, Jesus would walk along the Sea of Galilee and he calls his first disciples and it says this, Jesus said, come, follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they dropped their nets and followed him. Now here's the beauty of this. Here are the words follow and then followed. Here's what it is. Appeaso. Go ahead and say appeaso. Appeaso, what Jesus said is come appeaso me, and then it says they dropped their nets immediately and they akolatheo'd him. Are those the same words? Whoops. So what he did, let me do, because in the Eastern world, it's pictures and images. So let me show you a picture of what happened here. Jesus said appeaso me, and they akolatheo'd him. Here's what akolatheo looks like. Picture. So essentially, he says, come, follow me. And they were on the same beach as him. And they walked like this. And they're kind of all over the place, but they're on the same beach. They're heading in the same direction, but they're doing this. And Jesus did, when he said apizo, here's what apizo is. You're standing there and you're looking at a set of prints in front of you, and that's it. And what Jesus said in apizo is, put your foot into my print. Put your foot into my print and follow me exactly as I'm putting things back together. And what they did is, we're in the same direction. Are you with me? So he called them to this. Now, here's why I find this terribly encouraging, is because Jesus doesn't turn around and go, you guys stink. You blew it. He doesn't go on a rant or a lecture, but he keeps just calling them forward. Okay, you're just beginning. I called you to follow me, and you at least are going in the same direction. You're doing your best because you're just getting started. But what he's inviting them is to mature. Will you find my print? Keep walking with me. And he does this with them for about three and a half years, as best we can tell. And he says, just keep walking with me, but if you can, line that foot up. If you can find the shape and the mold of this print more and more as you mature, as you grow up, of course you won't get it perfect. But I'm asking you to keep working on getting into that print. That's the invitation. So then, the point is when we come to this, and that's what this morning is, we're wrapping a series called Paralyzing Questions, and the question is, what do we do with the Bible? Well, what we do is we walk with it, in it, because what it is, if you will, it's an inspired library that expresses a full spectrum of the growing and expanding human experience with the divine. Life, death, singing, cries of suffering and cries of joy, sin and salvation, beautiful. It's a library that spans some 1,500 years, written by a number of people of their experience with the divine. And so when you have the Hebrew scriptures, what a lot of people refer to as the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, I would say, is kind of like birth to 18 years old. This is how we began, and in this we did our best. And then in the New Testament, Jesus says, now let me show you exactly what this is supposed to look like. Let me help you move into adolescence. Let me help you mature to grow up and show you how it unfolds exactly. So when people go, the Old Testament, we don't need it. It's old. What? How many of you said, you know what, birth to 18 doesn't count? No, it doesn't matter. None of that today means anything to me. None of it. Or do you go, hey, I was trying to figure it out. And you know what? How many of you are still swimming in stuff that you learned, bumped up against in, like, when I was 12? That is still digging in. And I'm working my way out of it, through it. Of course. And so we have this picture. This library is far more about how we believe than just what we believe. A lot of people go, no, this is what we're supposed to believe. Great, wonderful. But do you realize it's a journey in how to believe, which includes stumbling and tripping and not exactly walking in the print and then figuring it out and getting it and growing and moving. And it's teaching us how to grow up in the Christ. That's what we've been doing. That's what we did this morning. We walked the narrative out, which included some singing, some psalms, some rants, some laments. Yeah, because there's all kinds of genres and different pieces of what it is. So when we speak of the Bible, we're talking about a library of experience that we're invited into. Now with that, I want to have us sing and just kind of reflect on that.
have this hope. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul through every storm. I will hold to you with endless love, all my fears swept away. There is hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unshakable.
Is that this raises actually lots of questions for you when it comes to what we call the Bible, that you might have all sorts of questions. And it's a journey. That's the beauty of it. It's a lot of people journeying with God, the God who does not change, but people do. So as they write about their experience with God, it grows and sounds different because people are growing and becoming different, new, remade in Christ. And so there's a lot going on there. And so my hope is that we could walk in it and experience it. And it's something that is crucial that we do together, because we have this brand new phenomenon in the history of the world called we have our own Bible. Do you realize, relatively speaking, that's brand new, that I have one and I can bring it home and I can read it all by myself? Because in the Bible, what we have in the first church and all of these things is they may have had a scroll for their village, and they would get together every single day and read it together and discuss it together, because maybe somebody out there is sitting there going, yeah, I don't get it. But, oh, we'll do this together. Or I'll read it and I'll just make up my own stuff. But when you do it in community and you start going, I think it means this, and everyone goes, whoa, that's like off in the deep weeds, pal. We get to correct one another. And so there is a communal aspect that we gather around the story and do it together. It's important. Should you read your Bible, you on your own, go for it. Great. But I hope you're discussing it and wrestling it with others as well, because it's important. And maybe you're sitting out there going, yeah, and I don't know Greek and Hebrew, which is what it was written in, Hebrew and the Hebrew scriptures, the Older Testament and the New Testament in Greek. We can do that together. We get to do that together. So it's a beautiful gift that we get to participate in together. So I would love to invite you to stand again. And because we began our time with the Shema, I believe that we should wrap our time in the Shema. And then a couple of announcements, because we jumped right in this morning, and there might be some things you need to know about what in the world is this Walker Harbor Church. So, would you say with me, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.